When the world is calling, whether it's sunny beaches, global cities, or boardrooms that can't wait, getting there starts here. With over 55 nonstop destinations, a new nonstop to Montreal on Air Canada, and 20 nonstop flights a day to New York City, Columbus makes travel simpler, smarter, and closer than you think. Start your trip at flycolumbus.com.
Keep passing the game. It's a good way to do it.
Yeah.
Just don't be too obvious with it. Kyle Korver leads to start the quarter for Curry.
Missed the automatic.
But then he'd be a guy that could go against LeBron James at times. Pacers have to alter their strategy there as Korver hits his second three.
He's one of those guys that it's hard to recover to because his release is so quick.
Kevin Love cleared out off the screen. Some skip feed to Korver. Over Robinson.
Spins it off for three. Kyle Korver has three triples.
Let's go to Korver on this last play.
Yeah, all the way across the top by Kevin Love, and Korver knocks it down.
I have to play in the third quarter. Bounce shots on the block. Cavaliers come away with it.
That was good anticipation by Love.
Send it for Turner. Korver sends it. The bottom, Kyle! The Kyle Korver leader again. 94-81.
Get a foul. A little frustrated. He'll get a foul.
James. Korver again for a fifth three.
That's the best player in the world. I don't care who else. Get hard to whatever you want. That's how you get guys shots. And he's a willing passer, can see all over. LeBron James gets to Kyle Korver.
The guard, Korver, if they have to.
Larry Bird, if he could. Fry swings it. McCray as well. Korver again! He is hotter than a blowtorch! Kyle Korver makes it 104-86!
DeBoer. They came in averaging 117 in this stretch. And there's Korver, open for three.
Monte Ellis gambled that the pass was going to the corner, and he came off of Korver.
Kyle Korver dialing long distance tonight. The number 7 all-time, a big night. He has 29.
Ball to Kyle Korver.
Oh, do it to him! Do it to him! Layup from 23-9!
My goodness! He can run for mayor of Cleveland if he wanted to.
What's up, everybody? It's Chris. Welcome to my Cavs podcast. You know, I think the Cavs have finally figured out the problem with their defense, and instead of fixing it, they're just never going to play it again. And when every game in a shootout, they are on a four-game winning streak. Again, they beat Minnesota last week, 125-97, which actually was pretty solid defense considering the pace they played. They beat New York 111-104, which was terrible because New York sucks. They beat the Wizards 140-135 on Monday in an amazing game. And last night, they beat the Pacers 132-117 in another three-point shootout. And the Cavs have been on fire. Monday night, LeBron hit one of the craziest shots in a buzzer beater to tie the game in probably franchise history. For a regular season game, it's the first one that sticks out. Of course, I am partial to when Zdrunas Ilgauskas hit a three to tie the game up against Phoenix back in the day, probably 2004 or 5. But that's mostly because Big Z never got a chance to shoot that many threes. I would say the degree of difficulty on this shot was a lot higher, considering LeBron didn't have a good look and he was going out of bounds, and Kevin Love hit him with the pinpoint pass and he just blew it up perfectly, got fouled out. The Cavs still won. The Wizards are good, too. They're not some pushover. And as I said on Monday's episode, they were my pick to be number 2 in the East at this point in the season, and I'm sticking with it, and nothing I saw Monday could dissuade me of that notion. And then last night, we've been waiting for it, and finally, Kyle Korver goes off, hitting 8 three-pointers, as you heard in the open to the show, and he scored 29 points, and he looked exactly like the guy the Cavs were hoping to get when they traded for him. And it couldn't have come at a better time with Iman Shumpert out. Just having him on the floor again, he is an unbelievable shooter, and he's getting used to getting those set shots and being wide open. And it's amazing when you're that good of a shooter how much just a little extra 2 seconds of being open can help. Of course, he hit a couple of huge monster threes when he had defenders right in his face, but the guy can shoot, and it's amazing to have him on the Cavs, especially with all the other weapons that they have in the lineup. It's just awesome to watch. Monday's game was interesting too, because Frank Isola reported during the game that LeBron James had personally asked the Cavs to trade Kevin Love for Carmelo Anthony. And Kevin Love responded on that game by having 39 points and 12 rebounds. I don't know if he actually knew about it during the game, but I did my own investigation. And Frank Isola also on Tuesday wrote an article explaining about how Phil Jackson was way too mean to Carmelo and he didn't deserve this treatment. And he also talked about how he was a legit MVP candidate in 2014 because he got one vote, breaking up LeBron's unanimous MVP season. I know he was in Miami then, so a lot of the Cavs fans might not have remembered that. I've connected the dots, and I said on the show's Twitter, at C4Pod, I said that I have done my investigative report, and Frank Isola's source on the Cavs Knicks trade is Carmelo Anthony himself. He's close with a lot of players. That's where he gets a lot of his stories from. There's a story you can read online about how Stephen Marbury and him became really tight because he helped him out when he was 13 years old. And it makes perfect sense coming from that perspective, because I can totally see LeBron James being the type of person who's like, yeah, man, we're going to trade for you. I'm going to tell him we're going to get you right away. And Carmelo's telling everybody that because he doesn't seem like he would be able to think enough beyond the surface level of how much that would ruin his potential trade value. That is, no trade clause might have done already. And just said, told everybody he could that LeBron personally wants them to trade for him. Or maybe they think it will lower the value enough that they'll be able to get him for their leftover players that they traded to the Cavs 2 years ago. Although, as I said, I want J.R. Smith back so bad. So bad. So right, so right, so right. And the reason I talk about this now is because last night, one of the craziest things in recent memory happened in the NBA. A Cleveland native, Charles Oakley, showed up at Madison Square Garden with a ticket and sat right behind the owner of the Knicks, and apparently, based on who you want to believe, either said nothing until he was forced to leave or was talking shit to James Dolan, the owner of the Knicks, the entire time for how badly he's been running this franchise. And it turned into a semi-brawl between him and a security guard, and he got led out of the arena in handcuffs and ended up in jail, where he got out in the night. He was released under his own cognizance, and the Knicks PR department tweeted that he needs to get help, and that is disrespectful. And in case you didn't know, Charles Oakley is like the NBA urban legend. He's like the NBA Punisher. He's shown up at practice for teams that he hasn't played on just to collect gambling debts from guys that owed it to him. Constantly beat up Charles Barkley, thrown a basketball at allegedly Tyrone Hill's head for owing him money, and all kinds of other things. And I would like to share this personal anecdote, which I might have said on the podcast before, but last summer I was down at the parade with my friends Steph Guy and Sean Sullivan, comics in the area there, and we were standing in this parking lot, and all of a sudden this guy walks by, and Steve's like, hey, that looks like Shannon Sharp. And I was like, yeah, it does. And then this monstrous guy. Now, mind you, Shannon Sharp was a big dude, but I'm 6'5", 270 pounds. I'm not like, whoa, he's huge, because he was shorter than me and he was really muscular. But then the biggest dude I've seen, bigger than, in a weird way, because it wasn't like he was that much taller, but this guy was bigger than any wrestler I've been around, bigger than any football player I've been around, bigger than any NBA player I've been around. And I've been around a lot. And he is like the widest, gnarliest looking dude walking through this parking lot entirely by himself, just expecting nobody to make eye contact with it. And I was like, holy shit, it's Charles Oakley. I got to get a picture with this guy. And I start to walk over to him. And again, I am a very big person myself. I looked right at him and he had such a snarl on his face. I was like, you know what? Cool. I'm not going to bother him. He's probably just wants to hang out with the Cavs and celebrate. And I'm just going to let him be. The guy looks like he should be beating the crap out of The Undertaker at WrestleMania, and he is not somebody to mess with. So if he shows up at your basketball arena and he wants to have words with you, watch out, because I would be scared of that. He is a bad man.
It's time for the NBA Book Club. Our current selection, Furious George, my 40 years surviving NBA divas, clueless GMs, and poor shot selection. Written by Kurt Sampson and George Carl. Narrated and read by George Carl.
Meanwhile, Carmelo Anthony, our main problem was that he liked to separate himself from our team. A player can talk back to me, we can argue, but that's between us. One player is a lot less important than how everyone performs together. I don't think Melo cared enough about being a good teammate. But he got away with some shit over the years because he made all-star teams and averaged 24.6 rebounds and 3 assists. His incidents were spaced out, so listing them here might make them sound worse than they were. If all my screw-ups were compressed into one paragraph, I'd look pretty bad too, but Melo had a pattern of bad judgment. He got a DUI. He got busted at the airport for having a bag of weed in his backpack. He got in a bar fight. He got suspended 15 games for punching a Knick during our infamous brawl in 2006. And he did a Kenyan when he refused to go back into the last minute or two in a game on the road against the Pistons. That didn't make his old coach too happy. But his real WTF moment occurred in March 2009 in the third quarter of a game against the Pacers. Carmelo had not scored much all night, but then he made two in a row. Oh, big deal. It was time for him to come out for a rest, so I sent in his backup, Linus Kleiza, as I usually did. At the next dead ball, good old Linus went in, but Carmelo refused to come out. After long moments of people staring at each other in confusion, but before we got a technical foul for having too many men on the court, Kenyon, to his credit, walked to the bench. Well, 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 here was a new wrinkle in the coach-player power struggle, one I've never seen before. It was also an incredible FU to me. We suspended him for the next game. After the game, which we lost 194, I had to talk to the media about it. Should I show my disgust at Melo's childish and lack of respect? No. I tried to be calm, an understanding of behavior I couldn't understand at all, and I filed it away in my brain to write in a book 10 years later. So I swallowed my tongue. There's a thin line between passion and emotional immaturity, I said, while thinking about how I would trash him in my book 10 years later. It happens all the time, to coaches too. We snap and act like idiots on the sideline because of the emotional stress of the game. The positive side of this incident was that it embarrassed him. He played harder and better for a while. Not coincidentally, we made a deep playoff run. So take it from me, Phil Jackson. If you want to motivate Carmelo Anthony, show him up publicly is definitely the best way to get him to step up his game.
That's going to be it for this episode of Chris Clem's Cavs Cast. The Cavs got a bunch of games coming up. They play tonight. They play Saturday. Oklahoma City, and everybody might be rested, so it could be a blowout. Either way, it seems like a lot of their problems have gone swept under the rug. It's amazing what winning a few games will do for you. I'll talk to you guys on Monday. Have a great weekend, and go Cavs. Chris Clem's Cavs Cast is brought to you by Chris Clem. The Cleveland Cavaliers do not support, endorse, or in any way approve of this podcast. If you'd like to get a hold of us, our phone number is 330-822-2296. Or you can email me at c4podcast@chrisclem.net. Thanks for listening.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.
Hi there, we are James and Dan, two thoughts of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's mind.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.